1st at the end of May, Wisconsin's emergency ban on most evictions and foreclosures expired. The ban was aimed to help protect our tenants and homeowners who may have lost jobs or income because of the coronavirus pandemic. Groups who defend tenants' rights as well as homeless shelters have been worried about a potential rush of eviction filings and service needs. So without the ban, have those worries come true? The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reviewed court records and reported a 42% increase in eviction filings around Wisconsin during the first 2 weeks of June over 2019. In Milwaukee, the number was slightly higher, they reported. Chris Mokler is Director of Legislative Affairs for the Wisconsin Apartment Association. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Rafael Ramos is an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin, where he directs the Eviction Defense Project. Rafael, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
Rafael, let's start with you. In these first weeks since this eviction ban ended, what have we seen? How bad have things been?
You know, we've been hearing a lot of inquiries from concerned tenants who've either already had an eviction case filed against them or have received a notice terminating their tenancy, so a five-day notice saying that they're going to have to pay or move out, which is basically the precursor to an eviction. So we've been hearing from a lot of concerned folks that they are at risk of losing their housing because the eviction bans have come to an end and because the coronavirus has, you know, thrown a lot of people's lives into disarray.
That's on the tenant side. Chris, what are you hearing from apartment association members about tenants' ability to pay and whether they're considering evictions?
Well, of course, landlords are concerned because this is the money that pays their mortgage, pays the repairs, pays for the taxes, the real estate taxes, and about what's left is about 9 cents or less for a smaller owner that actually goes into their pocket, pays for their groceries, and pays for their mortgages on their own house, et cetera, et cetera. So they have concerns because filing an eviction doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get paid. They want a way to, you know, get paid from the tenant that hasn't paid them. Some of those tenants are waiting for unemployment. Some of those tenants are waiting for wrap funds. And some of those tenants, besides for the tenants that have paid, some of those tenants aren't always doing anything, and they have a concern about that, leaving eviction to be their only last-moment choice. The Wisconsin Apartment Association has been telling our landlords members across Wisconsin to try to work with their tenants and try to do something to resolve the issue and make evictions the last resort, help them with their wrap application. You know, get them the information. It's not their responsibility, but whatever you can do to help, we're in a community problem. Let's try to work as a community to solve it.
And Rafael, for people worried about eviction, for people who are at the stage even where they know they're going to have trouble making their rent, what kind of resources might be out there, especially in this time of coronavirus, that might help them make ends meet?
Certainly. Well, I think Chris has mentioned a few already, and at that said, I want to thank Chris and the others, you know, from their side of the aisle who are trying to encourage people to work things out, because the way things are, communication and patience is kind of a key here, because it sometimes takes time to access these resources, right? So, Chris mentioned the wrap funding. I think it's important for people throughout the state to look at their local service providers. For example, in Milwaukee County, the county has just announced that they're going to make almost $6-7 million available through the Rental Housing Resource Center and Community Advocates, where people can get up to $3,000 to help pay back rent, which obviously helps tenants, but by extension helps the landlords who have to pay their mortgage. So I think right now it's really critical for people to look to see what resources are available, both at a federal and also local level, to make sure that they're trying to avail themselves of these funds that previously didn't exist. So there are some new resources out there that people should really be looking to access.
And Chris, for that landlord, especially the smaller one who may not have a lot of cash reserves built up, is there a backstop for them? Is there help for them if their source of revenue has dried up as their tenants are unable to pay?
No, not really. You know, we've all heard about that PPP, Paycheck Protection Plan, and we've heard about the economic injury and disaster loans. Those don't always apply to some of the smaller landlords because they're considered a passive investment and are treated differently under the tax law and have not been eligible in many cases. Now, I've heard of some cases where some landlords are getting them, and I've heard of many cases where they're not. So, you know, collecting the rent is the only real way. There might be a few programs around that individual cities have offered. I don't know how many landlords will qualify because the information is just coming out, and the devil's always in the details. So there's not really a big program out there to individually help landlords. They really just want to get their rent paid and keep doing business as usual.
We're talking about evictions and the difficulties some people are having paying their rent and the difficulty landlords are having in this tough economic time. Chris Mokler is with us with the Wisconsin Apartment Association, Rafael Ramos from Legal Action of Wisconsin. Rafael, Chris had mentioned from the landlord side the idea of, hey, if you have somebody who has trouble paying rent, reach out to them, talk. What advice do you have for that tenant when they're realizing they might have trouble paying when it comes to talking to their landlords?
Yeah, I think communication is really one of the most critical parts of all this. In fact, communication breakdowns, even pre-COVID-19, were one of the main reasons that we saw a lot of people end up running into issues with their landlords. So just initiating that conversation, trying to be forthright and upfront about the fact that you may not be able to pay now, but you're actively working to obtain resources to help you pay. And frankly, having the landlord's assistance in completing some of that paperwork, showing that there is a threat of eviction coming, is oftentimes a prerequisite to accessing some of these funds. You know, whether that's some fund sources requiring a 5-day notice or some other confirmation that they are behind in rent. You know, the conversation between the two parties is really critical because, you know, I'm a lawyer. I defend tenants who are behind in rent, but if it truly is just a non-payment issue, there's no protection afforded to tenants, you know, beyond what they would normally be able to argue as part of their legal case that's specific to COVID-19, with a handful of limited exceptions. So people really need to try to figure out some sort of accommodation that works well for everybody.
And Chris, what I think I'm hearing from both of you is, whatever side of the equation you're on, don't assume that the landlord-tenant relationship is an adversarial one at the outset.
Oh, we really want to see people try to break down that, which I'm sure Raphael will agree, the past existence of that tough relationship. Now is the time to try to break that down. Every Friday, we have a Wisconsin Apartment Association COVID-19 Task Force update. Long name, but basically, we're telling our members, giving them the latest and the greatest information on what's going on, and reminding them that now is the time to get to know your tenant. If you know, and we start right from the start. We said back in March, if you have an older tenant, reach out and see if they need anything. Get them some groceries, whatever. I mean, I just had a landlord the other day, last week, Thursday, tell me that he had a tenant that had COVID-19, and he says, "I will go get your groceries. I'll put them by your back door. You can pay me later." You know, do what you can do to help it out. If you have a younger tenant, they may be confused on what to do. Help them out. You're probably an older guy or an older gal, and you can help them out. Answer their questions. Now is the time to try to work together. Ask them how they're doing, and while you're learning from them, you'll know if they're going to be able to pay their rent or not. And then come up with a solution and try to figure it out. Because really, an eviction serves nobody's purpose. I mean, unless you've got a tenant that simply is not going to pay or cannot pay, you need to remove them to get a tenant in, hopefully that does pay, because you've got bills to pay. But that's really got to be a last resort in my mind.
I want to wrap up by asking each of you, and let's start with you, Raphael. Are there more fixes you'd like to see either from state government or federal government to help tenants weather the current crisis?
Sure. So, unfortunately, because our compliance obligations is a federally funded program, I can't advocate for particular changes of that nature. But I will kind of echo some of the sentiments that Chris shared, which is that the communication, the working together between parties is important. Because when you look at eviction, Chris mentioned this a while back, it's not really a surefire way for landlords to get the money that's owed. It's just looking to remove a person who lives there. So if the person who has been renting from a property has been a good tenant and has now fallen on hard times, really it's really in the best interest of everyone to work something out so that you can maintain that relationship long term. And let's also not remember the specter of the pandemic behind all of this, because eviction out of necessity increases movement among the population, creating greater health risk for everybody. So there are really a lot of reasons why it's in individual interest and communal interest to try to navigate these waters together.
And Chris, in our last few moments, a change you might like to see either legislatively or in our renting culture.
Well, I just hope that people keep working together, and we're gonna have to Monday morning quarterback and see how this all worked out. The Wisconsin Apartment Association, along with Legal Aid and Community Advocates, Public Policy Institute, asked the governor for four different things: working on homeless and working on corrections and inmates that are going to be released, and financial assistance for landlords via paying rent, you know, for tenants that need it. And the governor came back and more than doubled what we asked for. So we're happy about that. It's how far that's going to go and how many people it's going to help is yet to be seen. It might break down to $28 per rental unit, but not all those people need help. So it's kind of really going to have to see what happens and go from there. I really don't think an eviction moratorium extension helps. I just think that we need people to work together because this is a community problem and try to solve it as a community.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Raphael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
We've been talking to Chris Mokler, Director of Legislative Affairs for the Wisconsin Apartment Association, and Raphael Ramos, Director of the Eviction Defense Project at Legal Action of Wisconsin, looking at rentals and evictions around the state.